The sugya I wanted to do today is the sugya of Mayim Kinuvim Yimtaku, which is on the bottom of Chavavim Beis. Just to clarify a couple of things from yesterday that I think I can't be held responsible for anything I said yesterday. I'm not sure what world I was in after. I'm not a good flyer or a good sleeper on planes, so I wasn't so much here. But we discussed yesterday a very important line of Tosfos, where Achashal Arayus Kashul Eidus, where Tosfos writes that he doesn't understand why is someone who's Achashal Arayus Kashul Eidus, a guy who does Arayus is Kashul Eidus, yet someone who eats Nevelos Luteavon, or someone who does Mishkav Zachar is Pasul Eidus. What's the difference? It's both the same level of Isser. So first Tosfos said, no, over here we're not talking about someone who did Arayos, we're talking about someone who's chashed al Arayos. And those are two totally different things. Someone who's suspected of Arayos, not someone who actually violates Arayos. But then Tosfos answered, and we focused on this for a little bit, Inami hacha mishum di yitzro tokfo v'lo damu l'nevela v'gam l'reviya d'leka yitzro tokfo kol kach k'mo be'erva. Tosfos says, chashed al Arayos, while it's true that he did an avera that was very bad, in a certain sense, he can't help himself. It's such a severe and significant yetzer hara that it's almost impossible for a person to, not almost impossible, but it's very difficult for a person to control himself. The fact that a person violates arayos is not an indication that he's a bad person. If you violate mishkav zachar, you're a bad person. If you violate eating nevelos l'teavon, you're a bad person. But a person who violates arayos is not a bad person, he just has a terrible yetzer hara. So we raise the issue, that the Yehuda raises the discussion, and we point out that Pischi Tshuva disagrees with this note view. In fact, in the sheets that I gave you out today, on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, in the bottom left-hand corner, that Pischi Tshuva, you see he quotes that note view Yehuda, and he disagrees with it. It gets cut off a little bit, but just in case you don't believe me that it's there, it's the Pischi Tshuva in Simon Membez, Ebenezer, Sivkot Nechav Gimel, right there, quotes this note view Yehuda, who suggests that this idea of a Chashal al-Harayos being Koshal Eidos, because after all, he's not such a bad guy, he has terrible yetzer hara is only true when it comes to men. But when it comes to women, a woman to be made, let's say that another woman's husband died, a woman to be made about arayos related issues, or to be made for whatever it is that she's believed to be made about, which is that another woman's husband died, even a woman could be made. If a woman is chashud al ha'arayos, we would not believe her. She would be pasul la'edus because a woman doesn't have such a terrible yetzer hara for arayos. That was the no debutus comment. Pischi Tshuva disagrees. Says, no, arayos is a really bad yetzer hara. It's bad yetzer hara for both men and women. So I pointed out to you yesterday, we also had a machlokas of Russian Tosfos, how we view the yetzer hara for Mishkav Zachar. For those who are inclined to it, is it the same as the Yetzer Hara for Arayos for heterosexual people, or is it viewed to be something that's not a real bad Yetzer Hara, not as bad a Yetzer Hara as regular Arayos Yetzer Hara? That seemed to be machlokas between Tosfos and the Rosh. But on the women issue, I just pointed out to you that there is a definite recognition of a Yetzer Hara for Arayos and an Isser of thinking about Arayos and viewing explicit material, things like that, for women. But at the same time, there seems to be a lesser Isser than there is for men. And it's all an issue of degree that the Nodib Yehuda and the Pischi Tshuva seem to be arguing about. To what degree do we assume that a woman's Yetzer Hara is that overpowering and that strong? So I spoke in very vague terms. I want to give you some Mar Makomos, give it a little more concrete terms. There's a Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis where the Gemara says that it says in the Pasuk in Kriya Shema Lo Sasuru Acharei Einechem. And the Gemara says that's referring to thinking about Arayos. Rashi and Chumash comments that on that pasuk that there are three stages in the development of an avera: ha'ayin roe, the eye sees something, and then the heart desires, halev chomed, and then the body actually does the sin. The physical body actually does the ma'isa avera, but it all starts with ayin roe, with the eye that sees something inappropriate. But that's one pasuk. L'sura achrei nechem. There is an entirely different pasuk quoted in an entirely different gemara in Ksubas Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, where the gemara quotes a pasuk from Nishmarta Mikol Dovar Ra, pasuk Dvarim Perachav Gimel, that one should guard themselves from Kol Dovar Ra. The Gemara says that means that you have to guard yourself from Hirhurim Rayim, from thoughts that are going to cause you to become a Balkari, that are going to cause a person to have Tumah Belaila, to have Tumah at night. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf even goes further and says that you're not allowed to, not only you're not allowed to gaze at women, you're not allowed to watch animals mate, you're not allowed to even even look at women's clothing hanging on a mannequin or something, even if the women aren't wearing the clothing, because you're going to start picturing a woman in the clothing that could get your mind working in all sorts of inappropriate directions. So Rav Chaim Ozer and Achiezer Chelek Gimel Simon Chav Dalet Osei suggests that maybe that drasha is really only an asmachta; it's not a real drasha d'oraisa. But it seems pasha reading of the Gemara Nevel Dazar Dav Chav, pasha reading of the Gemara Ksubas Daf Mem Vav, is that this is a real drasha d'oraisa. Tosafot Nevel Dazar Dav Chav is explicit that it's a real drasha d'oraisa. So the obvious question is, well, a couple of things. First of all, where do we see Nishmarta Mikol Davara? Guard yourself from all evil things. How does that tell you about Hirurim Rayim? Why? How do we know that has to do with having sexual thoughts? Why is that called Davara? So Rav Yosef Engel in Gilyonei Hashas and Ksuvos over there says that the word Davar usually means speech. Kol Davar, Kol always means Larabos, always means to include something even more, right? So if even speaking about certain things is Aser, Kol Davar must mean something that's even a lesser violation than speaking would be Aser. What's the only thing that's a lesser violation than speaking? Thought. So thought must be what the Isser is about. Where do we have an Isser of thought? It must be Hirhurim Bad Avodah Zarah. Because thinking about Stam, thinking about pig is not eating pig is not an Avera. It must be thinking about the Isser of Arayos. That must be what it's referring to. Rav Yosef Engel. That's Rav Yosef Engel, Gilyonei Hashas. Mesh Chachma says, no, it's the word Ra that gives it away. Where does the word Ra come up in the Torah? It was the first time. I don't know if it's the first time, but the word Ra comes up in Sefer Bereishis. Yehuda, very good. Erva Onan, the two sons of Yehuda refused to impregnate Tamar, and instead they chose to have their seed wasted, which the Torah refers to as Ra Be'enei Hashem. Exactly. So that's Ra Be'enei Hashem. V'nishmarta mikol davar Ra, very, very Pasha de Drasha says Mesh Chachma. If Ra means, Ra Be'enei Hashem means, Hotzah Zer Levatala, V'nishmarta mikol davar Ra means you need to guard yourself from ending up in a situation of Ra, of having Zer Levatala. Makes a lot of sense. So that's where the Gemara gets the idea that you're not supposed to think about certain things during the day that are going to cause Zer Levatala at night. Now, these two psukim are very similar then. Lo sasuru achrei enechem, don't have bad thoughts. V'nishmarta mikol davar Ra, don't have bad thoughts. Why do I need two psukim? They're both right. They're both telling me the same din. So I referred to you yesterday to a tshuva in Rav Moshe. The Maror Makom is as follows: Igros Moshe Evan Ezer Chelik Aleph Simin Samach Tes, where Rav Moshe writes the following. Rav Moshe writes that V'nishmarta Mikol Davar Ra is dafka an avera to think about things that will cause Hotza Zera Levatala. That will cause a seminal emission. It will cause Hotzah Zera Levatala. Lo Sasuru Achrei Enechem is an Isser to think about things that will motivate you to want to do an Avera. Very different. For instance, Ramosha says, women can only be included in the violation of Lo Sasuru Achrei Enechem. A woman might see sexually explicit material and want to imitate that behavior. That's a very common thing. When children watch violent things, they act more violently. That's certainly with video games where they're actually active in the violence, so they act more violently. I remember as a very young kid, I used to watch all these karate movies with my brother, and then my brother would beat the garbage out of me for the following hour after the karate movies were over, because he had to try everything that Chuck Norris or Bruce Lee or whoever it was did. That's just, it's natural. At least that's his excuse now, that it's just natural for a child to try to imitate such behavior, and it's not just for a child, it's... We imitate what we see and what we're exposed to. So that's the Sosur Achrei Enechem. A woman obviously is not included in the Nishmarta Mikol Davar Ra, says Rav Moshe, because the Nishmarta Mikol Davar Ra is a very specific connotation of Ra, which is Hotzah Zera Levatala. There is no Zera for a woman, so she's not included in that. So again, what you see is that a woman has this Isser of even thinking about Arayos, and that's one of the unique things about Arayos, is that even thoughts are Asser, but it's not quite like a man. I mean, it's not quite as bad as a man. partially because of this biological difference that a man has the ability to be motzi zara levatala, which there's no such thing by a woman. One might suggest, according to this, that if, let's say, a woman has a proper outlet for her desires, for sexual desires, let's say she's married and she has full access to her husband's not out of town or anything, can she go to a movie, let's say, that's showing whatever, that has a scene or whatever, a love story or whatever, that's maybe otherwise would be considered inappropriate? So if she has an outlet, so she doesn't have to worry about Zera Levatala, and the Losura Achrei Nechem is don't do anything that will cause you to actually do an Aveira, but she has an outlet to carry out that behavior, maybe one could argue Mutter. Again, Meikra Adin, maybe you could argue Mutter, still probably not so appropriate. But that might be basically the Gemara Ksuba stuff. Samachay says, for instance, women shouldn't drink wine because it leads to promiscuous behavior. So the Gemara says, but if their husband is around, they could drink wine and they're not in Nida, they could drink wine because it's what promiscuous behavior is it going to lead to? They'll be with their husbands, and that's fine. They're allowed to be with their husbands. So as long as there's an outlet for it, there's no Hatzazel Vatel. You have a similar thing. The Rambam in Yisure Bia, Perchaf Aleph, Halacha Yotas, and Halacha Chaf Gimel says that it's Aser to have bad thoughts, and he doesn't say any difference between men and women. Right, the Rambam says a person should marry both his sons and daughters off when they're young to save them from immoral thoughts. So again, the Rambam recognizes that there's such an isser for women. But on the other hand, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chaf Amud Aleph says that Rabbi Yochanan, who was an extraordinarily good-looking man, would sit by the Sharei Tevila. Familiar with this Gemara? When women would come out of the mikveh, he would want the first thing they would see to be Rabbi Yochanan. Because then it would, because apparently there's such an idea that the first thing you see when you come out of the mikveh somehow has an impact on the child that you're going to have, on the vlad that will come about from the bia that she's going to have, the bia smith she's going to have that night. Not so much first thing you see when you come out of the mikveh. The Gemara assumes it's whatever you're thinking about during the bia that will have an impact on the child. So if she saw Rabbi Yochanan, she'll be thinking about the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan. Hopefully, that will have an impact on the children. I always thought maybe this is the source for the minhag, if you can call it that, that some people have, that women in the ninth month of pregnancy who haven't gotten their period in 9 months, a lot of times women will go to the mikveh. Why will they go to the mikveh? They'll go together with another woman who has trouble conceiving, and somehow when they go together to the mikveh, that means something. That's skula for the woman who's having trouble conceiving to have a child. So whenever I'm asked a shaila about this, I'm like, please, please, don't ask me these shailas about these silly skulas. I don't know where this comes from. It's not, you know, it's not in any of the books that I read. I don't know. But maybe this is the source. Maybe the idea is that when the first thing you see after coming out of the mikveh somehow has an impact on you, so if the first thing you see is a big pregnant belly after coming out of the mikveh, maybe that has an impact on her own ability to conceive. I don't know. If you ask me, it's not worth risking a pregnant woman slipping in the mikveh. For all the skulas in the world, it's not worth risking a single pregnant woman slipping in the mikveh. Plus, you know, I don't know where these things come from. But anyway, the Rav Moshe says, for instance, let's say a man is away from home. He's on a business trip. Is he allowed to have hirurim about his own wife? So his wife is mutter to him. Normally, you're allowed to be mahar about your own wife, right? You're allowed to have bia with your own wife. So is he allowed to have hirurim about his own wife? Rav Moshe says, not if he doesn't have access to her. Why? Not because of l'sasura achrei nechem, right? That's not the problem, but the problem is nishmar to be called avara, could lead to tzar zera levatala if he doesn't have access to his wife. So you do see this modified kind of iser when it comes to arayos, and a modified kind of concern when it comes to arayos. Now, as I just wanted to, cover that from yesterday. The other thing I wanted to mention is I mentioned yesterday, again, without the details, I'm just going to fill in the details, about how seriously Tosfos takes the idea that it's very difficult for a person to avoid the isurim of hirurim ra'im, of having bad thoughts. The source is Gemara in Chulin daf lamed zayin amid beis. The Gemara in Chulin says that Yechezkel Hanavi was so proud that he didn't have inappropriate thoughts that would lead to tumah at night. That he was so proud, Tesili Shalo Hirharti, that I should get such great credit that I didn't have hirurim during the day, and therefore be motzi zara levatala. Frek Tosfos of there, Chulin lamed zayin amid beis. What's he so proud of himself for? Of course, lo hirharti. It's an aveira to be maharer. Meaning, you want to be proud about a midas chasidus, something you do really great. You can be proud about a midas chasidus.
What is he so proud over here? He didn't do an Isur Daraisa, two Isurim Daraisa. So Tosa says that although it's true, it's a clear halacha that it's absolutely an Isur Daraisa to have Hirurim, but it's highly unusual for somebody to actually have the strength of character to fulfill that halacha. And that's what he's saying, tastily, that I'm so strong that I'm able to fulfill this halacha. The Gemara Babasra Kuf Samach Dalar and Beis lists Hirhure Avera amongst the three challenges that most people succumb to each and every day of their lives. So obviously it's something that's considered, that's along the lines of this Tosos, it's Yitzro Tokfo. It's a very, very strong Yetzer Hara, more so than any of the other Yetzer Haras for other Averos. Okay, so that's just to clean up from yesterday. The main topic I wanted to talk about is Mayim Genuvim Mutaku. So again, let's see the Gemara. The Gemara over here in the bottom of Chavavim Beis tells us that someone who's kosher al arayos, the Gemara says, Rav Nachman tells us is kosher la edus. Rav Sheshi says, I don't get it. Ani mari arbayin bekasve v'kosher. You're going to give him 40 malchus and he's kosher la edus? If he's chayv malchus, how could he be kosher la edus? So the Gemara says, even Rav Nachman, who says that he's kosher, is moda that for edus isha he's pasul. To be made that a woman is single, that her husband died, that is for sure possible. Why is he for sure possible for that? Even though he's kasher to be made, indeed in Mamanah's case, kasher to be made on kashrus. He's kasher to be made about anything else. Kasher to be made about a capital case. But say that a woman's husband died, he's possible. Why? So the obvious reason is because that's his yetzer hara. That's where he struggles. He's a guy who's kasher al arayos. So of course he wants to make the woman single. He wants to sleep with her. He's bad in that area. So in the area where he struggles, you can never trust him. A guy who eats nevelis and treifas, you're not going to believe about the kashrus of your nevelis and treifas. You might believe him about dine mamnas because he's so honest and he's so good. You're not going to believe him about something that's his personal area of struggle. So that's what the Gemara says, that even Rav Nachman is mod that Eidus Isha is puzzle. However, says the Gemara, Amar Ravina Vitem Rav Papa Lo Amar Nella Fuka Avala Ayula Leslanba. He's only possible to be made that a woman is single. But to be made that a woman is married, he's kosher. So Gemara says, of course, he stands to lose by saying that a woman is married. Now he's not going to be able to sleep with her. Pshita, that he's going to be kosher to say that a woman is married. Gemara says, no, it's not so pashut. Why? Ma'u ditema ha'adifalei tichsiv mayim genuvim yimtaku. One might have thought that he would dafka lie that a woman is married, Dafka say that she's married, so that he can have the thrill of sleeping with a married woman. Kamash Malan. No, he's not going to lie about that, just have the thrill of sleeping with a married woman. He'd rather have easier access to her by making her single. So he's not going to lie and say that she's married. But the Havamina is that he would lie and say that she's married because Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku, it's so much more thrilling and exciting to him to sleep with a woman who's really usher to him. So he would lie and say that she's married just to make her married. Obvious kasha. What are we concerned? That he's going to lie and say that she's married, even though she's not, so that what? What's the Avamina? So that? He could sleep, he could have the thrill of sleeping with someone who's usher to him. But he's, well, first she's ready, so that's true. But we'll get to that. But also, what are we concerned? He's going to lie and say that a single girl is married. Meaning, he knows that she's single. And we're worried that he's going to lie and say that she's married so that he could sleep with a married woman? What do you mean? If he's lying, she's not married. Who's he fooling? He's fooling himself. He wants the thrill of sleeping with a married woman. But he knows she's not married. He knows she's single. So we're worried that he's going to lie and say that she's married so he can have the thrill of sleeping with a married woman. No, you're lying. You know that she's single. What kind of concern is this? The Shtar Kakasha. All the Echonim are bothered. Yeah?
Once Basin says that she's married, then he's also to her. Even if she's not really married, but the Basin will still punish him.
So where does the thrill come from?
She's now usher to him.
Why is she usher to him?
Because if he's caught,
Basin's going to
punish him for sleeping with
a
married woman.
But Aliba de Emes, Klape Shemaya Galia, Hakadosh Baruch Hu knows, she's not married.
But she's just as usher to him as, according to.
No, he'll get punished in Basin. Basin will be making a terrible mistake when they punish him. it'll be a terrible mistake. So is the thrill from getting the punishment, from avoiding the punishment, the Beis Din, or is the thrill from actually doing the Aveira? So that's what it really boils down to. Meaning, if you say Mayim Genuvim Yim Taku, what does Mayim Genuvim Yim Taku mean? What do people like? Do they like the thrill of the chase? Or is it that they like doing Averos? It's so much more fun when it's a real Avera. Is it that the fact that they know that they're rebelling against God that makes it more fun? Or is it the fact that they have to be so much more secretive about it and like get around those who might catch them, and that's what makes it more fun? What makes it more fun? You'd say it's the thrill of the chase, the excitement of getting around people. Right. So if you say the latter, then that's exactly what Kesman was saying. Then it would turn out that would answer the kasha, right? That's what the Mayim Genuvim Yim Taku is. He dafka wants other people to think she's an Eishes Ish, even though he knows that she's not, so that he can have the thrill of trying to sneak around with her. Even though he knows she's single, the thrill is in sneaking around with her. Good. That's one approach. There's several approaches. That's one approach. If you take a look at the Aruch Lener that I gave you in the top left hand corner, the Aruch Lener asks this kasha. Says the Aruch Lener, L'chora ho yada deshkuri kamashaker. He knows he's lying. V'im kein etzlo ein zem mayim genuvim. So it's not mayim genuvim for him. V'yesh lomar de pirusha gemara kachu. Pshat and gemara is like this. Di'i pnuya hi yachal lavo el beisa b'farhesya. If she's single, he could just walk into her house anytime he wants. He could just, you know, sleep with her. Avli machziko sale'ishas ish mishum lazus fasayim tsarich lavo eleha b'ganev u'behechvei. But if everyone thinks she's married, then he's going to have to sneak. And then he's going to have to be much more secretive about it. V'hava amina taha adifalei. That's the hava amina. That's what he likes doing. T'tavi asur aleha be'inei ha'olam. That other people will think that she's asur to him. V'lo t'tavi shchich alei kol kach. And she won't be so easy. He doesn't want someone who's easy to get to. He wants the challenge. So that's what he's excited about. That's what Mayim Genuvim means. The thrill of the challenge of sneaking around with her. And therefore the Kamash Malan is that no, as much as he enjoys the challenge, he also enjoys easy access. You know, having the ability to go whenever he wants, that's even more enjoyable than the challenge. But the Havamin is that it's the challenge that excites him, not the Avera that excites him. Chaim Shmulevitz has a shmooz. I'm sure you're familiar with the Sefer Sichos Musar. Probably one of the first svarim many of you, you know, guys, when they first start getting into learning and excited about Torah, very often it's one of the first svarim that people popularly choose to read. Very, very beautiful. It was one of the first svarim I learned on my own. Is Sichos Musar. So in Maimer Ayin Ches, in the newer editions of the Sichos Musar, which is on Parshas Chukas. So he tries to explain what Pshat is in Baal Pa'or. What the idea is of the Aver of Baal Pa'or. So he quotes Argamar, Sanhedrin Chaf Avim Beis, and this idea of Mayim Genuvim. And he says, unbelievable. Va'avshu atzma yodea she'ina ishes ish. The guy knows that the woman's not an ishes ish. V'sheker heyid ba. He knows he's lying about her, and that it's not really Mayim Genuvim at all. Since other people think she's Nashish, Hareza a Geder Shiachal of Parzo. That's a Geder that he's now able to break down. Ad Kide Kach Misava Adam Lifrotzes Agadarim. So Chaim Shmulevitz takes out of this the following. People love to break rules. They love to break rules so much that they'll make up fake rules just to break them. Adchem sugalu livnos ta'atzmo geder shel dimyon. He makes up an imaginary geder that this woman is an Eishes Ish. It's not true. He knows it's not true. But he loves to make up that rule just so he can have the fun of breaking the rule. People love breaking rules. It's a natural inclination that people have. So he says, now I understand what Baal Pa'ar is all about. What's it all about? What is Baal Pa'ar? How do you do Baal Pa'ar? It's a Gemara later in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, Bameh Ovdin Lazu, how do you, what's the ideal avoda of Baal Pa'ar? Anyone familiar with Baal Pa'ar? You ever, yeah, what do? You go to the bathroom on it. You defecate in Baal Pa'ar. The Gemara says, if you really want to do a good job with Baal Pa'ar, Ochlim Treidim Vishosim Sheikhar Matrizin Bafana. Eat foods that cause diarrhea and gas and all sorts of, like, don't just go to the bathroom, like, make it good, you know? And then you go to Baal Pa'ar, oh, that's Baal Pa'ar. What's the Yetzer Hara for that? Okay, the Yetzer Hara of Rav Dazar, we don't understand in general. The Gemara says in Yuma that they shechted the Yetzer Hara of Rav Dazar. But come on, I mean, what's the Yetzer Hara for that? Like, how did someone say, wow, that's so spiritual, that's so religious, that's so beautiful? Like, where did that come from? So says Rav Chaim, it's exactly the point of this avodah zarah, is that there's no geder, that it's unlimited. You can just be as disgusting as you want, as crass as you want. Normally we have societal norms that would prevent you from, like, from doing certain things in public. Right? From going to the bathroom in public, societal norms. A little child by the age of 5 already knows, you know, I heard at my kid's last Little League game, a little kid was that, you know, had to go to the bathroom. He's, I don't know, an 8-year-old kid. And the parents said, just go over there. You know, I don't want to shove you all the way to the bathroom. He's like, no, it's gross. I'm not going to do it. He knows it's gross. Who does that? Oh, when you break all the rules, you break down all the boundaries of normal behavior, that's the Yetzer Hara of Baal Pa'ar. And the Gemara tells a story later in Sanhedrin. Maisa b'sivta ben alam shepar b'fenev v'kanach b'chotma, that he not only went to the bathroom, he wiped himself on the nose of the avodah zara. V'yimisharsi avodah zara mekalsin also, and everyone praised him. V'omlo may olam lahoy adam sha'aved l'zubekach. Wow, no one ever thought of that chap. It's brilliant. Meaning, he got it. That what's the avodah zarah is that there are no limits. That you not just to be disrespectful, be as disrespectful as you could possibly be. That's the koach hatuma of Baal Pa'ar. And how did Klal Yisrael get there? How did Klal Yisrael get to want to break down all barriers? Because of a lack of barriers in general in their own lives. Ve'echala am liznos al benos moav. We started committing znos with benos moav. And they brought us to Baal Pa'ar, to violate Baal Pa'ar. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Vav Amid Aleph, Tzurtzurei Nodos Shel Yayin Amoni Munach Etzla. How did the Benos Moav draw us in? They had wine, and they would offer us the wine. Says the Gemara, Va'adayin Lo Nesar Yayin Shel Nachrim. Stam Yenam wasn't Aser yet. They had yet to make a Gzera against Stam Yenam. And they had this wine that they offered us. She would say, you want to drink some wine? We'd say, yeah. And then we drink the wine, and then and next thing you know, we're sleeping with the Benos Moav, and we're violating Baal Pa'ar. How does it all happen? Because we didn't yet have the geder of Stam Yena. A lack of gedarim in our lives leads one to violate Averos, where they break down all of the gedarim. The need for gedarim in Judaism. That's what Rav Chaim Shmulevitz suggests is the idea of Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku. Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku is the immense desire, the intense desire that people have to break barriers. That's one suggestion. There are other suggestions, though, in the Achronim as to why it is that the guy who knows he's lying would still have a Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku in claiming that she's an Eishes Ish. In the Yalkut Biurim, in the back of the Masifta Gemaras, he quotes a base mayor. That maybe the situation is as follows. Maybe he saw a Suffolk Kiddushin. Sometimes you have a case of Kiddushin where it's Kiddushe Suffolk. You're not sure if the Kiddushin was a valid Kiddushin or not. So she might actually be married. And he's going to be mayor that she is married, meaning he'll convince himself that she's married because of Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku. He so badly wants her to be married that he'll convince himself that it's true. So the way he understands it, the way the Beis Meir understands it, is different. That it's not the thrill of the chase. It's that he actually likes violating the Aveira. Violating the Aveira is the exciting part. You know, it's like when Gatorade became kosher. So one of my Talmidim said, oh, now there's nothing cool to drink anymore. It's the fact that it's not kosher that makes it cool. That's what makes it fun. It's the actual violation of the Aveira. So he'll convince himself that she's really married if he saw a Safek Kiddushin in order, right? But those are the two tzadim of what the Mayim Gnuvim Yom Taku is. Is it the thrill of the chase or is it the actual violation of the Aveira? And I saw a very interesting answer also he quotes over here that I think is worth discussing for a minute. He quotes a Rosh Pina. I'm not sure who that is. He says on the bottom that it's quoted on the Gilyon of the Shulchan Aruch Ibn Ezer, Bo'tzas Machon Rosh Pina. Apparently there's a printing company called Rosh Pina, which has the following answer. Then maybe he wants to dafka say that she's Mukudeshes in order that it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. How does it become a self-fulfilling prophecy? He's going to say she's married. To who? So I'll say, yeah, she's married to that guy. So that guy will be like, oh, cool. I'm married? Fantastic. And then he'll go live with her. And once he's living with her, what's he going to do? He's going to have Bia. And when he's having Bia, he'll do it. L'shem Kiddushin. Ain't all the most abilas nus. He doesn't want his Bia to be his nus. So he'll do it. Bia L'shem Kiddushin. Mela, they'll be married. So it's not that he's lying in the sense and fooling himself, saying that she's married and she's really not. And where's the Mayim Genuvim in that? He knows she's not married. No. By saying she's married, he's going to actually make her become married. Because she's then going to sleep with that guy that he claims she's married to, and it will be a Kiddush Bia. They'll be married, boom, and that's it. Now he can have his Mayim Genuvim. What's the problem with it? What? Okay. Can you be Mekadish woman Bal Karcha? The halacha is no. She has to be Mekabel the Kiddushin. You also need Edim. Very good. Where are the Edei Kiddushin? So that's a very questionable thing. Do you really need Edim for Kiddush Bia? There is a concept called Hein Hein Edei Yichud, Hein Hein Edei Bia. That if a man and a woman are alone in a room for a certain amount of time, and we know that they're interested in each other, so you don't need more than that. This comes up halacha lemaisa. I know it doesn't sound so halacha lemaisa. This comes up halacha lemaisa in the issue of reform marriages, reform weddings. This was one of Rav Moshe's most important psukim. If we could rate the importance of his different psukim, this I believe he rated as one of his most important psukim. Because what happens if a woman gets married in a reform ceremony? And then she gets divorced without the benefit of a get, which very, very commonly happens. And then she gets remarried and has children. If the reform ceremony is a valid kiddushin in any way whatsoever, and she did not receive a get from her first husband, when she subsequently has children, those children are mamzerim. Thousands and thousands of people are in this situation. Are they all mamzerim? So Rav Moshe discusses, well, let's see. What happens with the reform ceremony? This, you know, there are several issues that, you know, there are four issues that you really need to discuss in terms of a reform ceremony. But I'm going to focus on the one that's nogea to us right now. And if we have a few minutes at the end, I'll go into some of the other ones. The Tshuva of Moshe is Nigros Moshe and Ezer Chelik Aleph Simen Ayin Vav. Again, I didn't provide you with the Mar Makom, but Chelik Aleph Simen Ayin Vav in Evan Ezer. Rav Moshe writes, maybe you could rely on Kiddush Bia. Moshe says, they get married in a reform ceremony. They're going to go home that night and sleep together. We have a Chazak, I know the most Bilas Bilas Nos. Person doesn't make his Bias Nos. So even if the ceremony itself is completely invalid, which it might be, most likely is, but maybe there's Kiddush Bia. Just like the Rosh Pina says. The guy's going to be made that they already were married, and then because of that, they're going to go sleep together, and that's going to be Kiddush Bia. So Moshe says, no, nothing doing. There's no Kiddush Bia here. Why not? So says Rav Moshe, Bidvar Niskadcha Eitzel Reform Rabbi. person gets married by a Reform rabbi. Everyone there was Rishaim u'mufkarim l'chal Shabbos lavar al kol mitzvah satara. Su'uda was basu nevelus atrefus. Typical Reform wedding, right? They got divorced without a get. What's the din? Says Rav Moshe, ha'nachol lani astaiti she'ena kiddushin shayu etzal her Reform rabbi, klum. There's nothing to that wedding ceremony. If there were no kosher edim there that saw a giving of a ring. And even if there were ksherim sha'amdu me'rachok v'lo ra'u she'im haya, that, let's say he says there were two kosher edim like in the back. They have some colleagues in work, can't be relatives, it's got to be colleagues at work who are from Jews. And they're in the room, two non-related kosher edim. So Rav Moshe says, let's say we're at a regular wedding. There was an Orthodox rabbi being Masada Kiddushin, and it turns out that some of the edim under the chuppah were no good. So can you rely on the two guys in the back? They didn't see carefully the Kiddushin. So Rav Moshe says, the halacha would be that it's okay, that you can rely on it, because if it's an Orthodox rabbi, he's doing an Orthodox ceremony. And you assume that he's doing an actual Maisa Kiddushin. He's making the guy give the ring. Girl's holding out her right index finger, the whole thing, everything's being done normally. I didn't see it, but come on, it's Rabbi so-and-so. Of course he's doing it right. But when there's a Reform rabbi up there, the edim sitting in the back have no idea what's going on. He could be doing anything. The Reform rabbi could be doing any sort of... There was an Orthodox rabbi that just did a gay wedding. I don't know if you saw it in the news. So-called Orthodox rabbi, obviously not really an Orthodox rabbi. Why you musmach? I now pronounce you married. What does it mean? It didn't mean anything. So we have no idea what he's doing up there. So the edus doesn't mean anything. There are no edim there. So there's no kosher edim that saw anything happen. Plus, it could be a double ring ceremony. If it's a double ring ceremony, forget about it. Then they have no understanding whatsoever of what Maisa Kiddushin means if there are rings going in both directions. Right? A guy wants to wear a wedding band afterwards because on date, that's fine. Rabbi Willick says it's a mitzvah if he's a doctor. He, Dafka, should wear a wedding band because nurses are known to flirt with doctors. But if they wear a wedding band, they're better off. But under the chuppah, for her to give him a ring and exchange rings, then they don't understand what Kiddushin is. That's not a Maisa Kiddushin Bechlal. What about the Bia? Isn't that Kiddushe Bia? Zokt Rav Moshe, Ach sheyesh lodin al mashe daru biyachad kidarach ish v'ishto, Maisa di rasam makam shnum tzu Yehudim ksherim. Let's say they live in a frum neighborhood, so everyone sees them go into their apartment at night and close the door. So whatever happened to hein hein edi yichud, hein hein edi Bia, so that's as good as seeing the Bia itself. And eidon mosa bilas o bilas nus, v'gamar ba'al Hashem Kiddushin. A person doesn't want his bia to be a bias nus, so obviously he's going to be ba'al Hashem Kiddushin. Aval pashut shu rak sheish lomar adam yodea shloye Kiddushin klum amrinan de ba'al achkach Hashem Kiddushin. So this, I thought, was... This is why I didn't like the Rosh Pina's idea. Ramosh says, no. When do you say that a guy is going to have ba'al Hashem Kiddushin because he doesn't want his bia to be a bias nus? It's when he knows that his only options are that either there's a bias nus or it's a ba'al Hashem Kiddushin. But if he thinks he's married, because as far as he knows, they told him he's married. The Reform rabbi said, I now pronounce you man and wife. You are now married, according to Jewish law. So he thinks he's married. So he's not going to be thinking to be bold Hashem Kiddushin. So I thought the same thing over here. What's Rosh Pina saying? That once this guy is made, that there already was a Kiddushin, that they're already married. So now they're going to live together and they're going to have Kiddushe Bia. No, if they think they're married and that's why they're living together, he's not going to do Kiddushe Bia. He thinks he's married already. Why would he do Kiddushe Bia? He's going to have Bia because he's going to have Bia because he thinks he's already married. Plus, Rav Moshe says you have another issue over here. The other issue is the Chazaka. I think Rav Moshe says this. If he doesn't, others say it. The Chazaka that ain't the most abilas abilas nus is a very questionable Chazaka with a lot of Reform couples. A lot of them are living together before they got married. So really? They were very clear that they don't mind bilas nus. So it's hard to have such a chazaka with a lot of people like that. But again, that's in general by Reform weddings. But I think this Rosh Pina, unless you say that no, what the Vard is, the guy is going to say that, be made that they're married in order to make it Mayim Genuvim. the person who he claims the girl is married to will be like, I know I'm not married, but no one else does, so I'll go live with her anyway. And then, when he's living with her, he'll have a mind of Shem Kiddushin. But then, Eitan Ross's taina is a good taina. She also needs Das L'Shem Kiddushin. And she's not being makabel to be L'Shem Kiddushin. Unless you say she doesn't want to make her be a biasnos either, so maybe she's also doing L'Shem Kiddushin. Maybe you have to say something like that. All right, we didn't quite get through everything I wanted to get through on Mayim Gnuvim Yimtaku. So tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, the goal will be to look at the comparison. What I want you to take a look at the gears of the Rif in our Gemara Mayim Gnuvim Yimtaku. Look at the Gemara in the end of Nedarim. It's a major kasha that should jump out at you. We'll try to go through some of the approaches to answer that kasha. Look at Tosus in the end of Maseches Nedarim. And then we'll set up the next sugya of Edom Zom Mikan Laba and Edom Zom Mafreya. We'll do a setup of the sugya. We'll read through some of the Gemara and go through some of the issues. Okay? That's tomorrow's plan. Bli Neder.